Now, it should come as no surprise to you that this morning we're continuing our series on the Ten Commandments. Over the last few weeks, we've considered the first four commandments. Have no other gods, make no idols, do not take the Lord's name in vain, and honour the Sabbath. And each of these commands concern our relationship with God. They concern our vertical relationship with God, you might like to think of it as. Well, today we move on to the other six commands, which concern our relationship with other people, our horizontal relationships with one another. In the New Testament, Jesus summed up the Ten Commandments by saying that first and foremost, we are to love God, and then we are to love our neighbour as we love ourselves. So this second section of God's Ten Rules for Living are to do with how he wants us to treat other people. As we've already heard in Exodus 20 and verse 12, we read there, "Honour your father and mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is given you." If you want to find that in your Bibles, that is on page 78 of the Chapel Bible, the Blue Bibles. Now, this matter of honouring our parents is of great importance today, not least because it applies to each and every one of us. I mean, you may not have a husband or a wife, you may not have children, but we all have parents, whether they're still alive or they've passed away. So there's no getting away from this commandment. In fact, as we'll see later, not even the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, avoided it. Then this command is also important because not only do we find it in the Old Testament, but it's also reiterated and reinforced by the New Testament. Hannah read for us earlier from the New Testament letter of Ephesians, didn't she? And it says there at the start of chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honour your father and mother, which is a commandment with a promise, that it may go well with you, and that you may enjoy long life on the earth." So honouring our parents is a command that we dare not ignore. And what's more, this commandment is important for us to think about and apply in our lives because the world around us is increasingly trying to undermine this whole idea of honouring our parents. Over the past few decades, rebelling against parents has become perhaps the thing to do. I'm told, because I wasn't alive then, that it all began around the 1960s and has continued since. Then it became culturally fashionable to rebel against authority in general and parents in particular. Nowadays, we often watch programs on TV that portray parents as kind of foolish and just not very cool at all. I mean, let's face it, Homer and Marge Simpson don't make you want to respect them, do they? And even when people do respect their parents, it's more about, what can I get out of it? Like the car sticker that said, "Honour your parents, they haven't written their will yet." You can laugh, it's okay. Technology has also had a big impact on the way we view our parents. In generations past, men were often craftsmen who had learned their trade from their fathers and likewise women from their mothers. It would have taken a person years to match their parents' skill, and so they naturally had a respect for them. Nowadays, however, children are learning things that parents have never even heard of. I'm sure if you're a parent, you can understand this. Technology is moving at such a pace that many parents find it quite difficult to keep up with the latest fads and trends, whether that be iPads, iPhones, Twitter, Facebook, or wherever it might be. And so each generation quickly surpasses the one before it in the knowledge that it possesses. And this means that there's a great temptation for the younger generation to think of its parents as kind of out of touch or behind the times. You know, in a day when knowledge is prized more than wisdom, the older generation might consider itself fortunate to be respected, let alone honoured, by the younger generation. Needless to say, this fifth commandment stands in sharp contrast to the prevailing attitude of the world around us. It's simple. We are to honour our father and mother. So how do we go about doing that? Well, I think the great temptation at this point is to wish that our teenage children were still sitting in here with us, listening to this sermon. And maybe you're already thinking about getting a copy of this on CD and then playing it to them on the way home so that your children can listen to it. And that's because we kind of think to ourselves that it's teenagers who really need to hear a message like this. But you know, this command doesn't just apply to just one generation. The fact is that no matter what our age, we're still someone's child. And so honouring our parents is a lifelong duty. Even if they're no longer living, we still have a duty, don't we, to honour their memory. On the other hand, maybe you've already tuned out to this message. You're thinking to yourself, well, that's okay for you to say, honour your father and mother, but you don't know my parents. You don't know what they said, you don't know what they did, you don't know what they still do. So how do we go about honouring dishonourable mothers and fathers? Well, let me just give you three suggestions. Firstly, by showing grace. Some of us, you see, expect far too much of our parents, even beyond what we actually expect from ourselves. And sometimes we just need a little bit of grace to say, you know what? My parents are fallen sinners, just like I am. And so life isn't always going to be as good as it could have been. Secondly, by showing forgiveness. This is a Christian characteristic that helps us guard against bitterness in our lives. Because the truth is that if you won't forgive your parents, then you're going to become a bitter person. Forgiveness, you see, helps us to not become fixated on the past. Because it involves turning the situation over to God. It's saying that I'm going to leave this matter in God's hands because He knows best. As for me, well, I'm going to get on with living the kind of life that Jesus has called me to live. On the other hand, if we don't forgive, we'll not only become bitter in ourselves, but that person that we won't forgive will actually end up kind of controlling our lives. Thirdly, we honour our dishonourable mothers and fathers by being thankful. Because for most of us, when all is said and done, there will be something, at least one thing, that we can be grateful for when it comes to our parents. Perhaps, for example, your dad was the kind of dad that provided for you. Maybe he wasn't emotionally supportive or spiritually helpful. But he did do his best to put clothes on your back and a roof over your head. And you know, a lot of children out there haven't even got that. And if nothing else, if all else fails, then you can always be thankful that you have a heavenly father. So even if your earthly mother or father has failed you, remember and give thanks that you have a heavenly one who doesn't. So there are some ways that we can show honour to our not so honourable parents. By showing grace and forgiveness and by being thankful for some of their characteristics. Now as we said earlier, we need to honour our parents at every stage of our lives. And so it doesn't just apply to teenagers. Someone has said that there are four stages in life. I think this particularly applies to men. Number one, well, the first two don't, but the next two do, as you'll see. Number one, you believe in Father Christmas. Number two, you don't believe in Father Christmas. Number three, you are Father Christmas. And number four, you look like Father Christmas. Well, for the rest of our time together, we're going to look at the first three life stages and how we honour our parents as children, as adolescents, and as adults. So first of all, what does giving honour to our parents look like when we're children? Well, when we're young, as in still at school and at home, giving honour to our parents is going to come primarily through our obedience to them. So when Mum tells us to go clean our room, we do it. If Dad asks us to go and cut the lawn, we oblige. And if our parents want us home by 6 for tea, then it means that we get home by 6 for that evening meal. The Apostle Paul applies this command specifically to younger children in that passage back in Ephesians chapter 6. There he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." Now notice that Paul qualifies what he says here by adding that phrase, "in the Lord." Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You see, we are never called to obey someone with an action that's in disobedience to God. As an example, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, we see the apostles are disobeying those who held positions over them, because what they wanted them to do was in disobedience to God's instructions. And so those apostles rightly responded, "We must obey God rather than men." Now, for those children who think, "Well, I know my parents told me to be home at 6 p.m, but I think the Lord wants me to be home at 6:30, so I don't need to obey them," well, such children are clearly mistaken, as they'll no doubt find out when they get home. Because for a parent to be disobeyed in the Lord, it would need to be something that's clearly forbidden in Scripture, such as if a child is told to steal something, or lie, or cheat, or something like that. And in those situations, where the child is asked to do something that would go against God's will, we actually honour our parents by not doing what they've asked us to do. But as a young child, the primary way of honouring one's parents would be through obedience. So that toddler that you see in the supermarket laying on the floor, kicking and screaming and having a tantrum, well, suffice to say, they're not honouring their parents either. Then as we mature, we become adolescents and we move on to young adulthood. And how we give honour to our parents as we move on through those stages, that changes as well. And honour at this particular stage looks primarily like respect. Now, of course, part of this adolescent stage is that we're going to have our own ideas. And we're going to disagree with our parents, perhaps. But we still need to respect them. This means that we respect them not only in the way that we talk to them when they're around us, when they're present, but also when they're not there. So when we're talking about our parents with our friends, we still need to show respect. We also need to respect them by listening to what they have to say. You know, we may not necessarily agree with everything they have to say, but the Bible tells us that it's wise to listen to our parents. In Proverbs chapter 1 and verses 8 to 9, we read this. "Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. They will be a garland to grace your head, a chain to adorn your neck." So we need to talk about our parents carefully, and we need to listen to them. And then as we become young adults, our circumstances change even further. For instance, we may move away from home and possibly get married. As the Bible tells us, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. And after marriage, we then have a relationship with our wife or our husband that actually has higher priority to that of our parents. But it still doesn't free us from our obligation to honour our parents. It just takes a different form. In fact, we need to bear in mind that how we live when we're no longer under the direct control of our parents actually still reflects back on them. So we need to give respect. And we also need to live respectfully. Again, the book of Proverbs, which has loads of great wisdom regarding these kind of issues. It says there in chapter 23 and verse 24, "The father of a righteous man has great joy. He who has a wise son delights in him. May your father and mother be glad. May she who gave you birth rejoice." Now, all this places a huge responsibility on parents, doesn't it? So just a quick word to those of us who are parents at this point. Because not only must we honour our parents, but as parents we need to bring up our children honourably. With this in mind, again, the book of Proverbs instructs, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not turn from it." That's the rule for raising children. And although sadly it doesn't always happen, generally if you bring up a child under the instruction of God's word, if you train him or her in the ways of the Lord, then that child will grow up to honour God, just as you do. And as parents, we also need to realise that we have the primary responsibility for the well-being of our youngsters. And as Christian parents, we have the extra responsibility, you might like to think of it as that, of modelling Jesus to our children. You know, we aren't to leave it to youth workers here at Surrey Chapel to tell them about Jesus. We ourselves need to be guiding them, equipping them, and leading them to the Lord. Because what we teach our children, to a large extent, will be reflected by them in how they live their lives. Just to give you an example of this, there's a song that I came across called "The Cat's in the Cradle." I think it's some years old now. It's by a man called Harry Chapin. Some of you might know the song. But it's a song about a dad who really doesn't have a lot of time to be around his son, because there were planes to catch and bills to pay. But regardless of that, the little boy loved his father and would say, "I'm going to be like you, Dad." Well, the song ends like this. And it says, the dad says, "I've long since retired. My son moved away. I called him up just the other day. I said, I'd like to see you if you don't mind. He said, I'd love to, Dad, if I could find the time. You see, my job's a hassle and the kids got flu. But it's sure been nice talking to you. Dad, it's sure been nice talking to you." And as I hung up the phone, it occurred to me, he'd grown up just like me. My boy was just like me. We need to bear in mind that we're teaching our children all the time, even when we don't realise it. So let's make sure that we take our responsibility seriously and aim to teach them well in whatever we do. Now, the last stage of life that I'd like us to think about is adulthood. So what does it look like to honour our parents as we're getting older and they've become elderly? We've seen that as children, we're primarily to obey our parents through obedience. As adolescents and young adults, we are to show respect to them. And as those who have elderly parents, honouring them means caring for them. Of course, in Bible times, there wasn't all the government's pension and welfare provision there is nowadays. So as people got older, their children were supposed to look after them. And the assumption was that just as they fed you, housed you, clothed you, bathed you, and looked after you when you were little and couldn't care for yourself, you would help them to cope as they grew older and weren't able to care for themselves. Just listen to what Paul tells Timothy concerning our family responsibilities. In 1 Timothy chapter 5 from verse 3 we read, "Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. Then on to verse 8. If anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for his immediate family, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Now, those are strong words from Paul, aren't they? As Christians, we have an obligation to love other people. And that love first has to be seen as we love those who are closest to us. So when our parents are getting older and less able to care for themselves, we honour them by making sure that they're cared for. And of course, this means different things for different families. For example, it may mean taking them in to live with us. It may mean going to their place and helping them with those needs they have. Or hiring a qualified person to be there so that they can be cared for. Or perhaps to make sure that they're cared for in a care home with qualified nurses. And it has to be said that in all of this there aren't any easy decisions. What might be right for one family might not be right for another. And as always, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit in these matters. And needless to say that our motivation needs to be born out of love for those concerned. We need to have their best interests at heart, not just what's most convenient for us. You remember that the Lord Jesus himself made provision for his own mother. In John chapter 19 and verse 26, as he hung there on the cross, he looked down, didn't he? And who's there at the foot of the cross? His mother Mary. And standing next to her is his best friend John. So Jesus looks at his mother and then he looks at his friends. And what does he say to John? Here is your mother. In other words, Jesus is saying, I'm not going to be around here on earth very much longer, but I want you, John, to take care of my mum for me. Jesus loved his mother and he honoured her by making sure that she was cared for. And then in all of this, we need to bear in mind that we are modelling the care and honour that we may receive from our own children one day. Joy Davidman, C.S. Lewis's wife, illustrates how vital it is that we honour our parents through our care by recalling one of Grimm's fairy tales in her book on the Ten Commandments. There she wrote, "Once upon a time there was a little old man. His eyes blinked and his hand trembled. When he ate, he clattered the silverware, missed his mouth with the spoon, and dribbled a bit of his food on the tablecloth. Now he lived with his married son, having nowhere else to live, and his son's wife was a modern young woman who knew that in-laws should not be tolerated in a woman's home. I can't have this, she said. It interferes with a woman's right to happiness. So she and her husband took the little man gently but firmly by the arm and led him to the corner of the kitchen. There they set him on a stool and gave him his food, what there was of it, in an earthenware jar. From then on, he always ate his in the corner, blinking at the table with wistful eyes. One day, his hand trembled more than usual, and the earthenware bowl fell and broke. If you're a pig, said the daughter-in-law, you must eat out of a trough. So they made him a little wooden trough, and he got his meals in that. These people had a four-year-old son, of whom they were very fond. One supper time, the young man noticed his boy playing intently with some bits of wood, and asked him what he was doing. I'm making a trough, he said, smiling for approval, to feed you and mother out of when I get big. The man and wife looked at each other for a while and didn't say anything. Then they cried a little. Then they went to the corner and took the little old man back to the table. They sat him in a comfortable chair and gave him his food on a plate. And from then on, nobody ever scolded him when he clattered or spilled or broke things. That tale reminds us that those who follow on after us often learn how to treat others by the way that they see us treating them. So let's always honour our parents, because as we do, we will honour God. And as we've seen, this honour comes in different forms. It comes through our obedience when we are young, through giving respect as adolescents, and by caring for our parents when they are old. So as we each consider our own circumstances in life, let's just pause for a moment. Let's just ask ourselves, am I honouring my parents? Let's just bow our heads and spend a few moments thinking about that, and then I'll pray. Heavenly Father, we've been considering this fifth commandment, which you have given us, to honour our earthly fathers and mothers. Lord, we ask that you would help us all to do that, no matter what stage of life we may be at. Lord, we thank you for our parents, for the way that they have loved and cared for us over the years. And we ask that you would enable us to treat them obediently, respectfully, and with dignity. And yet, Lord, we also acknowledge that many, maybe even some here this morning, don't have those kind of parents who we might consider worthy of honour. Lord, I would pray particularly that you would bring healing into those lives where these relationships have been broken. Lord, in these painful and often difficult situations, may those involved be able to give grace, and may they be able to demonstrate forgiveness. Lord, may individuals be able to see the good in others and not just fixate on those bad things. Father, we thank you that in all of this we have you as our perfect heavenly Father, as one who guides us and nurtures us and wants the best for us. So Lord, may we honour you above all in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.